Good morning. Good morning. This is Michael Stamps with Grace Talk, and we have Chris Payne. We have Corey Lee. Hey, we're glad to be with you guys one more time. Hey, guys, how was y'all weekend?
Oh, man, it was a great weekend. You know, yesterday being Easter Sunday, the Pastor David Ball at Anchor Church that I go to on Sundays, man, brought an on-time word of just kind of where's your perspective? What are you looking? You know, that Sunday morning, where were the disciples at? You would think after Jesus had told them time in and time out that I'm going to rise after the third day, they would be sitting outside that tomb waiting on him to come. And so sometimes we just got to ask ourselves, do we truly believe what he says? Do we truly believe what, take him at his word? And so that was Sunday. And Saturday, I went to the Dream Center and spoke out there. And it's an intimate time with the men there. So rehab in Alabama. And I got to... I done the Lord's Supper, communion with them, and also washing of the feet and washed their feet, and just like a sweet time of just the Lord's presence.
Awesome.
And so it was a blessed weekend for sure.
Awesome.
Man, that's awesome, man. I love hearing that. And it's been a real good weekend. Our kids have been out of school Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and today is Monday.
Even
better Monday. And so we've just enjoyed time together. Did a few things on Friday and Saturday, and then yesterday we actually came to church with Michael Stamps.
Wow. And he surprised me, too.
Surprise.
Great surprise.
Yeah, we had what a wonderful time. And then just, I know I told Michael when we were here, but just the joy that was in your church, the love, and just the freedom too. I just enjoyed that. It was a blessing to us. And I asked him, I said, you think we should text Michael, let him know we're coming Saturday night? He said, nah, let's just show up. So, we just showed up, and we enjoyed it. It was a blessing to us, so yeah. it was good.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was just a blessing for y'all to, you know, just to show, like, sometimes, you know, you hear people all the time, hey, I got your back. But then when you see them show up, it's almost sudden. It's like you want to poke your chest out a little bit. That's my buddies. That's my friends. Yeah. Like, I know they got my back. And so that's so good that we get to experience that for one another. It's been a great weekend. And I was sharing with them before we had started that. So after service, I was, you know, I didn't want to go out. I don't know how everybody else did, but I already knew I'm not trying to find a restaurant on Easter Sunday because I know everybody. Let me help you out. So if it's an Easter Sunday, if it's a Mother's Day, or if it's a Father's Day, you better try to cook at home unless you already got some reservations somewhere, because you're going to be waiting a long time. And if you've been preaching all day, you don't want to wait a long time. Well, that's me. God is working on my patience on that. So I already kind of – I was proactive. So I cooked a little bit. And so when I had a few things I needed to pick up, I stopped by the store. And when I stopped by the store – I was getting ready to leave, and I was seeing kind of different people that was leaving out of store. They were, you know, well-dressed, so I said they probably went to church or going out to eat. But the thought just came to mind that I really felt like the Holy Spirit just kind of gave me an unction to say, you know, you do realize that Easter is not the same Sunday every year. Like, it's not the same one in each month. It changes. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say? And then it says, well, people are making preparations for a Easter Sunday, but it's not the same. It last year was in April. This year was in March. And so it's just like the Holy Spirit was prompting me to say that if you can make a preparation, and because I think there is something we have to understand, because pastors or whoever, just when we're leading and we're preaching, we still got to teach people. We got to lead them to the cross.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
every Sunday. So that never changes. It shouldn't be that you're not leading to them to the cross, but it's emphasis added because of a risen Sunday or Easter Sunday. And then the thought came to mind and said, well, if they make preparations for a Easter Sunday that is not the same all the time, then they can make preparations every Sunday. And so that's what hit me. I said, so I just wanted to challenge people. If you went to church this past Sunday, just like you prepared for that Sunday, you can go again. and you should. And I'm not saying you should just go for like social, just community things like that, because we do need community. But you need to go that you get closer to him, because he's wanting to show you a bigger life than what you have. And sometimes you scratched only the surface on that particular Sunday. There are some things that God is opening up. So it's like he's bringing you to knowledge in him. That's he's good. Like, That's and good. You're like, okay, but you stop. So when you stop, now you, if you wait another year, so you waiting on that Sunday, 52, the 52nd Sunday, or whenever that Easter is, think about all that time that you have missed in the middle. So I just kind of wanted to start there, just to understand the priority of the cross and of what he has done and what he's always doing if we're open to that. So that's kind of some of the stuff that I thought we could, you know, just kind of challenge people and to look. So not just get caught up in, well, I went this past Sunday. Go next Sunday. Go this Sunday. We're looking forward to seeing you in whatever church you're at or you went to. Go back. Go back expecting God to continue to reveal to you who you are. And because it's not what man says, it's what God says. Anybody want to tag in there? So
I would, I don't know where this is going to go.
Yeah.
Money, Mike. But you know, I was sitting here thinking about that as you were talking. It's like, why do we not place that emphasis, especially here in the Bible Belt? And I think we've got a head full of knowledge, but it hasn't trickled down into the heart. You know, like it's like one of those things, like you make a priority for the things that are important for you. And you're talking about going to church.
Yes.
Even spending time in the Word is important. And I think we just got a head full of knowledge, but it just hasn't gone down into the heart, like the importance that Jesus Christ came. He was fully God, fully man. He was buried in the tomb. They know where the tomb is, and that tomb is empty, right? Like yeah. it is empty. And so there is proof. You know, there's some people who like experience. You know, they like experience. Then there are other people who's like, well, you got to prove it to me. I got to have facts. They're much more factual-based people.
Yeah.
And the fact is that Jesus Christ died on a cross.
Yes.
There were tons of people who saw him.
Yes.
There were events that happened the moment he let out his last breath. There were things that happened on the earth that caused people to say, whoa, what's going on here? The veil in the temple was torn. They took him off the cross. They put him in the tomb. They knew exactly where that tomb was and kind of what Chris is talking about. They talked about he even said, I'm going to be raised the third day.
Yeah.
And you talked about his disciples not believing that, but the Pharisees and the religious people did, to the point that they said, hey, let's seal that thing. I'm going to put my signet ring
on
it. Let's put some guards at it. And Jesus rose from the grave. The thing is empty. The tomb is empty.
Come on.
And then it said for 40 days he made his appearance. Not only that, whenever he rose, there were other people who rose from the grave as well. How wild is that?
Yeah, come on.
And I was just thinking about that, and I think, you know, when Holy Spirit came and Peter preached his sermon and 3,000 people came into the church, I think one of the reasons it was so powerful because all these events were happening, and they're like, man, what is going on? I don't know what to make of all this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the reality of the words that they had been reading in the prophets had become real to him. And I just wonder, we're seeing a lot of the percentage of Gen Z and the millennial generations attending church is going down. And I think they are looking for something real and authentic.
Yes.
And I think we've got a head full of knowledge. It just hadn't trickled down into the heart yet.
So what you just said even made me, it's like I was just picturing something that sometimes would happen. And what happened is, if we don't continue to speak about the miracle that happened, we forget about the miracle that has happened. It's like, yes, he did. He rose from the grave. But there was somewhere there was some loss in transmission that people quit talking about what God was doing.
Yeah.
And I think if we don't watch it, we can do the same thing. We'll forget the miracles, what God has brought you out of. And, you know, let me tell you what I feel like sometimes happens. A lot of times what happens is it's almost like the enemy start talking. Like, Chris, Nobody want to hear your testimony anymore. Corey, nobody want to hear that again. You done said that last year. And so I'm like, that's the enemy that talks to us sometimes, and we'll be quiet. But we don't understand the magnitude. When God has brought you out of something, it's a testimony.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Somebody to know that you might be in a test, but he wants to get you to the money.
That's right. Come on.
He wants to get you to see there is a place of completion. So he sent a person like Chris or Corey or Stamps to there to say, hey, Jesus, if God has brought me out, and just like you reminding us that even when Christ was he rose from the grave, there also was a place that even other people was risen from the grave. And so that to me shows that he wants to do something for you.
Yeah.
He wants to do where the power of God, this is what I said yesterday. I said, you know, and our weakness is really where power, that's where
that's
the
right.
power is really be made strong. But it's not in you. But it's in the power of God himself. So when Jesus got to his weakest moment, because he had to deny himself and say, you know what? Not my will, but the Father's will. That's denying. But when he done that, he comes up with all power and authority. I just got to let that sit there a little bit. But, you know, I just had to share that. But let's not forget the miracles. We can't. You can't. Christ has done too much. If he has risen from the grave, that means there's more for you. But you got to remember what he's already started doing.
Hey,
so
I want to throw that. I know Chris is sitting on go. I know
no,
he's got something good.
I'm just sitting. Take it.
I just wonder, too, you mentioned we don't tell the testimony. I wonder how many people are like, well, I've heard that before, and they're looking for something new.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like it becomes, okay, yeah, I've heard that a couple of times. All right, well, for them, they don't capture the power of it.
Yeah,
it's just
that's
like,
right.
I'm looking for something new.
Yeah,
and so anyway, that was just a thought.
I told not this Sunday, but the Sunday before last, God gave me a quote, and it was saying, "Count your blessings, but count them slowly."
Ooh.
Count your blessings, but count them slowly. It's like you want to move on to the next thing, but what do you already have?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you was already, one time you were struggling that you didn't have a car and you had to depend on somebody to come get you. Or maybe you have been praying for that husband or that wife, and God sent me the right husband or wife, and then he sends the right person. And it's like, I don't know if I want this, because now they're making me get to another spiritual level, because you sent me what I need.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know if I really want to have all this. But it's what you're saying to me, Corey, is like, even we have to watch. We got to be mindful that we don't lose the information that's in between.
Mm-hmm.
We get the start and the end, but we forget what's going on in between that area. And so that, I just wanted to share that. So
yeah. My turn, huh? Man, there's so many things I can say with just listening to y'all. One thing for sure is, as Corey was saying, we have a lot of head knowledge, but not a whole lot of heart knowledge. Yeah. I've heard it said best like this: the longest journey you will ever take is 18 inches. What you talking about, Chris? From your head to your heart. Mm-hmm. That's the longest journey people are going to take. It is from their head to the heart. And so, and it's also crazy that you say that, okay, what Jesus done, so we come in on Easter Sunday in remembrance of, you know, him going to the cross and dying for us, and but we don't want to think about it again until, you know, 52 weeks later. And so here's the thing, I done a message on it one time, like after the resurrection or after the cross, what happened. And so Jesus went and he revealed himself to all the disciples. He made 40 different appearances, I mean, for 40 days and stuff, and he made all these appearances. But do you know what his message was to all of his disciples and everybody he continued to appear to?
Come on.
Go and tell it.
That's it.
Go and tell it. You see what happened. Now go and tell it. And too many people's not going and telling it, you know?
That's good.
And a lot of times we don't go and tell it because of the fact, like, everybody's already heard this before, you know, and it's familiar. It's like the familiarity is what can kills a lot of people as well, is because I've heard it so many times. Here's the thing about it. I read it in Acts 2, starting in, let me just read this, verse 11. So he just, the Holy Spirit just came down. It's the day of Pentecost, and they're all in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes down, and then they're all out, you know, speaking in tongues and just tongues of fire fall. The whole situation, go read Acts 2. But then right here, it really jumps out. Acts 2, verse 11, it says, the Cretans and the Arabs, he's talking about all the different people that was there. They were speaking in different languages, and they were understanding it in their own languages. And then he says, the Cretans and the Arabs, he says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. That's the first part right there. Like, we are to be going and telling the wonderful works of God.
Yes.
What is people needing to hear? They need to hear the wonderful works of God. I talked about it in Romans 10 and 11. He talks about we are supposed to be provoking Israel, so to speak, to jealousy. Why? Because, like, man, I thought I knew what I had, but I want what you got. I got to ask you a question. Are you provoking others to want what you have?
Yes.
Or are they walking around like, I don't want what you got? Come on now. Anyways, that's here and there. And he says, they're going around, they're speaking in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. And so everybody that was around, they said this. So they were all amazed. There's three different spots right here.
Mm.
They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others, mocking, said they are full of new wine or they are drunk. And so here's the thing about it. We are going to take these three, I don't care who you are, where you're at, or whatever the case may be. When you hear about the works of God,
yes,
or where you see the works of God, you're going to take one of three approaches. One, you're going to look at it with amazement.
Mm.
And the Word talks about the amazing, wonderful works of God. And so when we are supposed to take that view of like, man, that's amazing, I got to ask you this question as well, because I ask a lot of questions. Do you still have that amazement? Are you still amazed by the things God has done? Or is it something you're familiar to, or all these other different things? Because if you're losing that amazement, I'm telling you, it's a matter of time before you lose that passion, that fire. I'm telling you, there's amazing things God has done, and yet half has not even been told about what God is doing and going to do. And so there were some that were amazed, and then there were some that were perplexed. Perplexed is not a bad thing. They were questioning it. They were wondering. And there's a lot of people that see in the move of God,
come
and
on,
they're perplexed, and they're wondering. That's not a bad thing.
Yes.
The question is, what are you going to do with your perplexed? What are you going to do when you're questioning? You can do one or two things. You can do like some, that other that question it. Matter of fact, there was those that was in the hometown of Jesus. When Jesus went to his own hometown, when they first seen the works of Jesus and when they first heard the wisdom that he was speaking, the authority he had, they were all perplexed as well. They were first amazed. They're like, wow, where did he get this wisdom from? Where did they? And then they became perplexed. Then they started questioning, like, hold on now. Then they started asking, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't he the a carpenter? Isn't he this? And then the questions, which we will have, then caused them to start saying, you know what? No. And then they started taking offense to him. If you're not careful, you will have the questions of the amazing works of God. And if you do not take it to the right source, you will allow the questions to cause you to become offensive and defensive and say, you know what, I don't know about all that. And so, but here's the other thing about it. You can be perplexed, asking the question, what is this? Why is this? Oh my gosh, there's something going on here. Well, in Acts 17, verse 11, Paul was preaching to the Bereans, and what the Bereans done, they decided to go after Paul would preach to them and tell about the amazing works of God. They went back home, I'm paraphrasing this, they went back home and they searched the scriptures themselves.
Yes.
And it says literally in the Word, it says, because they searched the scriptures themselves, many of them believed. Come on now, it's okay for you to question, and it's okay for you to be perplexed, but I need you to take your questions to the Word. Come on now.
Yes.
I need you to take the questions to the source right there, so
that's
that he can reveal himself to you, who he is. And then the last thing, some of them just walking around mocking. But I'm telling you, here's the thing. Galatians 6:7 says, God cannot be mocked.
Yes.
A man reaps what he sows. If he sows unto the flesh, he will reap from the flesh. If he sows from the spirit he will reap. And then he says, so do not grow weary in doing good, because in a due season you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. My question to you today is, are you still looking at the wonderful works of God with amazement?
Yes.
Or are you questioning it? And are you allowing the questions to take you to the source of his Word? Because I've had those questions. I went to different churches. I'm like, hold on now. I don't know. Like, this isn't how I always learned. Okay, this isn't what I always thought. That's not a bad thing. The Lord says, I'm using that for you to dig into the Word. Come on now and find out what I'm saying about it. Come
Man,
on, allow the questions to take you. Or are you the one walking around mocking the works of God?
Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's man, that is so good. It's like you was in some of my notes. I didn't even get to go to none of that, but that was some of the things I wrote down was there is in scripture that I was looking at even when Jesus was with Pilate and they were planning like, all right, you want Barabbas or Jesus? And after a while, it said that they said, you know, they kept it got so loud, or the Pharisees, it got so loud that they were saying, we want Jesus, death to Jesus. Mm-hmm. But it said mock worship.
Mm-hmm.
Mock worship. And that kind of go. And I was like, God, what are you saying even with mock worship? And so sometimes even with mockery, we understand it's like you saying one thing, but you're doing another.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
I'm
so
I'm smiling in your face behind your back. I'm just kind of laughing,
yeah,
at you, mocking.
And so that was one of the things that I shared yesterday with them was, you know, I said, if you had the opportunity to read somebody's mind, I said, but you have a couple stipulations that you can do. I said, you have an opportunity to read somebody's mind. I said, but you have to pick between your friends or your enemies. And then secondly, you knew what they said, but you could not comment, but you knew it. Like, yeah, you couldn't come back and say, hey, I know what you're thinking. And I said, so which one would you be? You know, which one would you choose? And so when I was asking that, it was the reason is because sometimes we think some of our friends, maybe not our friends, our enemy is somebody that is already opposed to what you believe. So you already see the enemy.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we think some people that, as we saw with Jesus, that he had people that they said that they really, really believed him, but at the time their heart wasn't in agreement with their knowledge of him.
Yeah. They so, had it up here.
And that's one of those things. So that can be mockery worship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not in agreement. Everything is not in alignment. There's no balance. And so I think that we have to remind ourselves to slow down and believe what we say, not just up here, but here. That it does change us, because if we do have those issues with, like, say, I'm perplexed and I'm undecisive, I don't know what to do. Well, it's because sometimes you got too much in the bowl. You got too much going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You're trying to put, and I had to say this because I had a conversation with someone, and I was explaining basically saying that, you know, I'm not saying that people can't go and visit just different churches. But if you already struggling trying to figure out who Christ is to you, you might not be mature to handle going to these different places, because if it's not rooted and grounded,
yeah.
That's like let's look at it like this. Let's look at it as a school system. And if you can just go to different schools, like, say, if you want to go to Shannon today because you're closer, you can go to Shannon. If you want to go to Tupelo today, you're closer, you go. And, you go into the 11th grade studies, but all of them ain't teaching the same.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? And so what I'm saying, you know, I try to tell, look, you got to be mindful that this is your soul. Your soul, your emotional tie, that you understand that what you're getting, you need to know that you're making the right decision, that I'm going to the spiritual realm and not the body. And I think that's a lot of the times that what happens with people is it's okay here, it's okay there, but then they get into that place of being perplexed because there's so much in this pot. And so one of the things I learned, and I hush after this, but one of the things I learned is to, if you got some things going on with you, even with your health, you got to start cutting back. It's the same way in the spirit. You know, if you, I don't know. I'm eating all this stuff and then I'm like, why am I feeling like this? Well, you got to start breaking stuff down. You got to start slowing down. Oh, let me go back to water. Maybe not. Let me start like fasting from some things and then I come back and then do stuff gradually. But we got people that's doing the same thing every day, and then they want a different result, which we know that.
Sounds like insanity.
Yeah, it is. It, but I'm like, why is this going on with me, this and that? But are you willing to sacrifice and back up so you can make things that are perplexed and that you're questioning can be make it an easier thing for your spirit to make a right decision? Because anything that you're going to make, you're making a decision, say you're going to buy a house or you looking to get married? Are you looking to go into ministry? Starting a business? Man, you got to understand that it sounds good in the head, and then sometimes it's not good on paper. And so you got to make sure it's the will of God versus your way. And the only way you'll know that is you got to continue. You go to him in prayer. But not only that, you got to start even separating. Okay, what if I separate it from that? Is this going to take me from what God is calling you? Because everybody still have to do what they've been called to do in God himself. And if we don't take that time to kind of step back before we make decision, and you all, it's almost like you were saying about you and Kayla when y'all was getting married. And but, you know, it's like, you're like, well, God, I don't want this if you don't want, if this ain't for me. Most people don't think like that. That they're like, what are you, crazy? Y'all already said it. But when you are in the Abraham mentality, I don't mind giving up Isaac. And when you give up Isaac, if it's for you, then we understand that ram in the bush will be there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people got. I just want you to understand. So if it's a business or whatever, and I know I kind of went a different way, but slow down. Don't just be making decisions because you got a lot of amen people in your corner and you ain't even consulted God. Oh, you're a good preacher because you sound good. Oh, man, you need to be doing this because you want to be leading. Man, I'm telling you, if I had you over here, this is what we're doing. And I try my best even with the ministry. I don't say, hey, on a Sunday morning, I get up and say, would you like to join the church? Out of impulse, you know, of just that hypeness, and then people join the church. I want them to feel the unction to say God has really told me. And yesterday we had 7 people say, "Hey, we want to join church."
Wow.
But I mean, they've been coming, but I just like, I'm not gonna do that. I want them to come find me because now that means you are asset, not just accessory.
Yeah. Oh wow.
And so that means if you saying God has called you to the ministry, then you are willing to submit under the vision of the ministry. If that makes sense. Yeah. All right, I'll be
now
quiet.
Get to work.
Yeah, let's get to work. Anyway,
that's good.
So
I love what you guys are talking about with the perplexed and asking the questions, and I think the Lord loves our questions. I think He loves us to be curious, and how you guys are talking about that perplexion can lead us down the wrong path, or it can lead us to ultimately where God wants us to, and that's
right.
To Him.
Yeah,
like, whose counsel am I taking? And if I'm taking counsel of all these outside things, it's going to lead to a lot of confusion.
Yes.
That's what it leads to. But I think the Lord loves our questions because He's trying to draw us into His counsel, and I think it's great for us to ask questions because it leads – I'm going to say it in a slightly different way than what you said. You want people to come into the ministry because they feel called to, not because they feel pressured to.
Yeah.
Because now they're all in. But it's in our faith. We don't want to just have blind faith. I don't want to have faith based just what old Chris told me.
Yes.
I want to have faith based on understanding. Well, how do I get that? It's by asking questions. It's by digging in. Jesus tells the parable of the 4 soils multiple times, but when he says it to all these people. But there are some people who left that meeting, and they had no greater level of understanding. It was, oh, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then
there
are others who drew near and said, Lord, tell us a little bit about that, right? And this is what he says. It says, seeing that they may see, or he's talking about, to you it has been given the mystery to know the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Man, I like that. That's for you, right? Like for you listening, you and Jesus, that's what he's saying. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but those who are on the outside, all things come in parables. So seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear but not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. Like he wants us to draw near and ask those questions because he wants to reveal it to us. There's a proverb that says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it's the glory of kings to search it out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, God doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us because it's in the searching out that he reveals himself to us.
Say that one more time. That was good.
I don't even know. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't hide things for us or from us, but he hides it for us because it's actually in our digging. Like, when if I have a dream and something stirs or I hear a word and it's like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, that is an invitation to me to sit with
invitation.
Him. That's exactly
right.
What it is.
That's
like,
right.
Like, I think it's so important to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Like, if I'm at church, and if it's something that even the pastor says, or maybe even somebody that's singing something, and a word just starts to stir within
me. Come on, that's
it. Holy Spirit is starting to say, hey, he's knocking. He's like, hey, I want to show you something. Mm. It's an invitation to draw near and to sit close with him because he's trying to reveal something to me.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And I think right now, we are in a season where it is a call to purity and maturity.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
One of the ways we do that is get into the counsel of the Lord, not in the counsel of the world. Like, I had a friend text me something earlier today. He said, I've heard all these things about Easter. This is the most interesting one that I found. I didn't click on it. I don't know what it says, but it's like so easy to get your voice out there, and it leads to so much confusion.
Yeah, so
right
much.
Now, it
so
is so
much.
Important to hear what the voice of the Lord is saying
yes.
than wow. the voice of the world.
Wow. Yeah. I think staying right there is just, you know, you're talking about just how easy there's so many misinterpretations, mm-hmm. and everybody have quick access to social media and just, you know, YouTube and all that. So then you got all this stuff. Somebody's taking a little bit from them, mm-hmm. and then they say, well, you know, I'm going to add my little bit on there. Then I'm going to add my little bit, and then that taking, then somebody, before you know it, it's so diluted.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you have people that are being caught up in that because of this person's influence. They kind of, well, I like the way he talks, so that's why I listen to him, but not listening spiritually. And y'all can help me with this because I've been prayerfully, I've been in this place that I've been just asking God, all right, when you gonna send me? So that's the confirmation of something that you were saying to me earlier. But I'm like, God, when you gonna send me to have this conversation? Because there's somebody that's dear on my heart that's not connected to me, but the conversation is like, it's anti-God. Just everything is anti-God to the point that, you know, no other religion but just Christianity itself, that's the only thing that this person is attacking. And it's not that I'm looking for it, but it's like it's like the first thing that I always pop. I'm like, well, God, why you keep showing me this? He says, I'm preparing you because I want you to have a conversation. But it's not going to be in the way you want to have the conversation. And so are we willing to, you know, to have these conversations with people that are around us that are definitely speaking things that are not biblical? They sound good, but they're not biblical. And it's almost like when you ask somebody, well, what do you mean by that? Sometimes that's like an insult because you say that. And I'm like, no, I don't mean that in that way, and I have to try to come back, but I gotta understand what you're trying to say, so then I can tie it in the word, because if it's not tied to the word, then I'm like, no, that's not true, you know. So we got to get to the point that we do that, you know. So I guess my question I'm asking y'all, I know we on here, but I mean, what do you do in those situations? If you know you have people that are, like, willfully, they just, I mean, they're against God, like anti-God, and everything is against the church. Everything else, they'll believe whatever else. But when it comes down to, that's just fairy tale stuff. And it's just, I mean, that's their whole conversation all the time. And it's hurtful because it's like, you don't know where you on thin ice, you know, you on thin ice because you in a place that you don't know either. You know, you trying to say that you know more than somebody else. That is a scary place. But how would you guys deal with somebody that is anti-God? And I give a little more context to it, content to it. But it would be more the person knows about church. You know, at one time that person was maybe on, they were on fire, like, and then all of a sudden it went south. Don't know where. And I felt like that's one of the things the Holy Spirit would probably have me to come from. Yeah. But I mean, if you knew, say we have a Chris Payne, you Chris Payne, but say we got another Chris Payne, and you knew Chris Payne when Chris Payne was on fire, and then all of a sudden the fire's out.
Man, I'm telling you, and I don't have a direct answer, and maybe Corey does, and I'm going to let, because I feel like Corey may run into individuals like this, especially coming from, and that's what I really enjoy about Corey is, especially when he's in the business world and stuff, he can always bring the spiritual faith side to it, and not everybody there is on that platform. But I tell you, Stamps, man, my heart is heavy for that. I'm not going to say names or anything, but there's certain individuals I know, man, used to pastor a church. And I'm talking about was pastoring this church for years. And then now they're no longer, you know, pastoring the church or anything. And you just see them and you see them on Facebook and things. And it's just like, it's just like completely against, you know, what they stood for. And it's like, what happened, man? Like, what? Like my heart aches for you, like, and then they get caught up in all this other different stuff and just everything, and you can see it's the enemy all day long. Yeah. And you know, and it's just, I mean, it really does. And then on the flip side, maybe, and I see people like this as well. I remember telling somebody, man, they used to help out with recovery, man. They were pouring in faithfully into men and women in recovery from a spiritual standpoint. And then now they've become like a – and Lord forbid, I don't know their walk. So I'm not sitting here saying anything about an individual's walk because I don't know their walk. Absolutely. You know? And but it's like I see at one season of your life, you were on fire for the Lord and you were pouring in, like, I mean, you were speaking scriptures over people. You were speaking the word over people. And now you're doing the same thing. But I mean, now you're just like probably teaching psychology and stuff. And it's just like you're not even going to church anymore and all these other different things. And it's like, what happened? And I tell you what happened, man. You lost your first love. Your first love. And I was telling somebody the other day when the Lord's starting to elevate them and they're getting new opportunities and all this stuff, I was like, listen, man, don't lose your first love.
That's good.
Because that right there, and it's just my heart aches over a handful of individuals that I know personally that's in that situation. Unfortunately, the Lord hasn't placed me in their path to speak that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that, you know, us living our Christian walk out loudly, you know what I'm saying? They're seeing that.
Yes.
And they're on the backside. And it's those things, it's going to provoke them to jealousy.
Yeah.
Like, man, I remember. I remember. And I want that. But, you know, I mean, for different things, it's different situations, I believe, and discernment for sure. And it's just like you said that, like, as you was talking, the Lord kind of prompted you, like, well, I'm going to kind of, okay, I can come from that angle, mm-hmm. you know? It's just like I was talking to a guy at the gym, and he was talking to me, you know, he's not into all the religion stuff and stuff, and I wasn't beating his head over with it or nothing. Yeah. I was just meeting him right where he's at. And but then he brought up karma. He believes in karma and how all this other stuff. And so guess what I did? I was like, well, let me tell you what the word says, Galatians 6. A man sows into his flesh, from his flesh he will reap. If he sows into his spirit, from his spirit he will reap.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so I was able to use what he had in a worldly perspective because his mind was like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. Oh, I didn't even. Well, I'm not saying it's karma.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying that it's the principle of God. This is the principles of the kingdom. And the world has tried to take it for their own for too long. But if we can use what they think is the world standards and bring it like, no, man, the Lord originated all that. And this is exactly what it's supposed to be, and not how you are saying it. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I think that's – I immediately thought about a proverb that we had talked about a couple weeks ago about – do you answer the fool in his folly or not, right? Because the one proverb said, do not answer the fool in his folly.
Yeah.
And then the very next proverb says, answer the fool in his folly. Yeah. And it's like, well, which is it? And it's like, well, whichever you have grace for in that season.
Yeah.
And I think when those moments come, the Lord gives you grace. But having one of the things I've learned in having tough conversations more in the the business world is getting good at asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm always telling people what to do or what to think, I don't really know what they're truly thinking.
That's it.
And also, if I'm telling you what to do and how to do it, and I'm speaking business for a second, and we'll come back. Because if I'm always telling you what to do and how to do it, it's always my idea. It's always my
It's not
thing.
That revelation they have.
Yeah, right? Like, but whenever I ask questions and they come around to the understanding themselves, now they have to own the fact that they've come to understand something.
That's right.
And now once I've come to understand something, I've got to do something about that. And so having those conversations, especially with you know, what I would call haters or, you know, stuff like that is, like you guys said, living it out. Like my life, your life, it is an example. People are watching. Mm-hmm. And then getting good at asking questions. I went on a mission trip a couple weeks ago. And one of the guys there, his wife, she had told this story. She worked in the fashion industry. And she worked in, like, this is super worldly culture. And she said some of the people in her office were some of the top supermodels in the world. Like, if she named those names, you would know the names. Like, I'm not even familiar with it, but she's like, those names. And she said, but she, the Lord just kept telling her to stay there. And she kept, you know, grinding it out. And one day, one of the supermodels came to her and said, hey, I got saved and baptized this weekend. And she said, what? I had no idea you were even thinking about Jesus. We never even had a conversation like. And she said, "Well, I've been watching you for the last 2 years. I've been watching you, and you're the first person I've seen to really live out what they believe." And then this weekend, somebody basically presented the gospel to me, and I thought about you. I saw your life, and I was like, you know, and so I think our lives speak an example, and then asking questions, but also, I don't know if we may have talked about it on the podcast. I know we've talked about it outside of here, but just sowing seeds, man.
Yeah.
Sowing seeds.
Yeah,
you so never is. Know when those seeds are going to pop out. And I was just thinking, you know, like, I'm going to share the super quick story. So our son, I love my morning routines, right?
Yeah.
I love my morning routines. This is my time with the Lord. I'm around people all day. I love people, but that's my time with the Lord. Well, my son, he gets up one morning, and I see him flick the light on. It's about 4:30 or 5, and he says, can I go upstairs and read the Bible with you? And I'm just telling you, this is so just like fleshly, very first thought was like, no, this is my time.
Yeah.
This is my time, right? You know, but then I thought, man, this is what I've been praying for.
Yeah, come on.
This is the moment I've been praying for, right?
Yes.
And so we go upstairs, and I read, and he reads, and we pray and stuff, and nothing supernatural or anything like that happens. Nothing, like, fantastic. Well, 4 months later, it's Christmas, and for Christmas, what he got me was his manuscript to the book he wrote.
Wow.
He wrote a book. And it's just like these super short chapters, and I just flipped, and I was just reading some of these, and I'm like, wow, these are really good. And I flipped the one he calls upstairs. He says, upstairs in our house is just like a normal upstairs. We got a pool table, we got a TV, but the Holy Spirit is upstairs in our house. And
come
it's
on.
Morning. And he goes on to talk about, you know, Holy Spirit being upstairs in our house. And I was like, wow. You know, and I thought about that. Like, there are some people who are listening here. I think you've probably been praying for somebody. Maybe it's a prodigal. Maybe it's, you know, somebody you've been trying to pour into. You investing in their lives. You're praying for them, and you're not seeing anything. You're starting to get a little bit discouraged. And what I'm saying to you is,
come on.
Sow seeds.
Come on.
Sow seeds. Sow seeds. Don't judge the day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you sow. And
yes,
so,
that's so good.
I didn't necessarily mean to go down that route.
No, that's
good. But with what we're talking about there, I think there's a boldness that the Lord's going to give to us in those moments.
Yes.
And if I'm always trying to tell people what to think, I need to do a good job of listening, asking questions, and then meet them kind of where they're at.
Man, that is so good. So. It's almost like I posted something this morning that just saying if we make God decisions – and then later on, it become a place of gratitude, you know, because sometimes you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, but you say, God, you done told me to do this, But then the gratitude is later, that those times that you thinking like, do I even really matter? Like I think, because we all going to go through a season that sometimes it seems like it's silent. You know what I'm saying? There's a time of silence. But then God will use people around us to say, no, you don't know. You spoke into me when I felt like everything was silent.
Yeah.
And so I think those are seasons that happen. And I love what, even with your children. And I see that what mine is like, they're watching.
Yeah.
They're looking and they seeing what we're doing. But it's something when you see your children come back and say, Dad, that matters.
Yeah.
That really made a big difference. And even the podcast I did over the weekend, mm-hmm. I was here, what their dad went through. Had a traumatic childhood, you know, abusive and dealing with from his mother and father and losing his father at a young age, and really didn't bother him because his father was very abusive to him. So when he lost it, he felt like, that was the best thing that happened for him. But in the middle of that, he said, well, I'm not going to do drugs. I'm not going to do this. He said, I'm going after God at a young age.
Amen.
But with him making that decision has even changed even the generations next. And to see his sons that are in the middle of him, and they was like, well, that what is something that you would want to leave for a legacy? He said, y'all already doing it. He said, y'all love God. He said, if you continue to love God and lead your family, he said, that's all I ask. And that should be what we do as men anyway. So even what you're saying, Corey, what you're doing, you just never know the doors that's going to open up for your son because you've been obedient. And it goes beyond where we at. You know what I'm saying? It goes beyond. I'm like, well, God, why you? Because you have people kind of talk and ask, I'm like, man, you could have been doing this. You could have been doing that. But God called me to where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
It goes beyond. I don't know the years to come, but he does. But if I stay obedient to what he's saying and what he's telling me, I will hear well done, good and faithful servant. But not only that, then I can see how it blessed others. It could be my daughter. It could be my son. It can be other people around me. It's like, which I'm not going to go into the story, but it's like even the opportunity when I met the young man named Benjamin. So even if it's that, it's worth it. It's worth that extra push to go into him and to get closer to him. And that's just one of the things I just was thinking that blessed me, man. That blesses me because if you write him books, then he's going to up them.
Yeah.
He's going to take it to the next level. And that's what it should be. And that's why, I press on my son a little harder. He's like, Dad, why you always, I'm like, son, because it's more in you. Because if God has given it to me now, then he can give it. I can give this what he's telling me, but it's already sharpened you for the years later. So you don't have to wait. Some people, they're still trying to find out what their identity is or what their purpose is, but they're not really listening to two ways. They're not listening to their father that's there and their real spiritual father.
Mm-hmm.
And so that missing link is the thing that's making them still run in circles.
Yeah, you're talking about that guy. One of the things I found, people who are like that, is they found their identity in something else.
Yes.
Right? Like they have been hurt. Something, they've got that disappointment like we talked about last week. Something has happened and something didn't live up to the expectations that they had, but probably because getting identity from somewhere else or something else.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And that's good about just, sowing seed, being intentional. The guy that I ran into today at the gym before I came up here, he's got 2 months clean and sober, but he's been in and out of jails, in and out of rehabs, the whole story. And I talked to him for about 45 minutes today, and he said, man, one thing stuck with me, Chris, and I don't even remember this. I remember one part that I prayed over him, but I don't remember this. And he said, one thing stuck with me. Years ago, we was at a Pentecostal church, and you were there preaching, and you prayed over me, and you prayed for me to not worry about the materialistic things of everything around, da, da, da. And he said, and that's been my issue all along, is I want to have the right shoes. I want to hold on to this money, all these other different things. And he said, and today, 2 months clean and sober, I realize that's been my prayer every morning, is that I don't get caught up in the materialistic things. And it's because you prayed that over me then, and I remember it. Like, and here it is, you know, years later. And so you never know, you know, the impact you do make in somebody else's life. And that's why it says this right here in Galatians 6. 7 through 10, it says, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows into the flesh, from the flesh he'll reap. Sows into the spirit, from the spirit he'll reap. Don't grow weary in doing good, because in a due season you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. But verse 10 says this. He says, therefore, as we have an opportunity, some virgins say, look for the opportunity. As we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. In other words, he's saying, like, look for opportunities to sow those good seeds. Sow those good seeds. But you got to be intentional.
That's right.
You can't have just good intentions. And I'll end with this scripture right here, Galatians 5, 16 and 17. And then when I read this one a couple years ago, I was like, oh, wow, there it is. It's how the NLT version. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves.
Come on.
The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And right here, these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Yes. In other words, he's just saying, like, good intentions doesn't – I've always heard that, you know what I'm saying? You know, good intentions doesn't get you anywhere and all these other different things. And it's, you got to be intentional, because if you just got good intentions but not intentional, you will naturally go back and want to fall back into your fleshly side and things. And so just, I guess, looking for opportunities to sow in – good seed into individuals' lives, but at the same time having the boldness of the Lord to speak truth when truth needs to be spoken.
It reminds me when you said about just having good intentions. It's like you can have a lot of potential, but a lot of potential with no purpose. It's just potential. And and I think that's what God is trying to show us, that we got to continue to find out what that is, what our purpose is. Before we close, I want to make sure we give an opportunity. So what's coming up this weekend? I think I would love for everybody to know what's going on this weekend.
Sure.
And
right.
So I don't know if one of y'all want to pick up on this, but I know this is going to be a big weekend and things like that. So
yeah, I was trying to find a quote because I heard it the other day, and it was about potential, and I'm probably going to butcher it. And this is they were talking about, you know, why people never reach their full potential is because they're unwilling to pay the next price.
Ooh.
And what we talk about in leadership is that everything worthwhile is uphill. Whatever it is, whether it's in life or business or spiritual walk, everything worthwhile is uphill, and it's uphill all the way. And in order to go up, you got to give up.
Yes,
give
that's
up
good.
Something of a lesser value in order to gain something of a greater value. But what this guy was saying was it's uphill all the way, and there's a price that has to be paid from here to here. And you give up something lesser value here to get something of a greater value. And the reason we don't reach our full potential is we quit paying the price.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So, yeah. Anyway, I thought about that whenever you said the word potential. And so, yeah, what we've got upcoming this week, it is a super exciting thing. We've got YWAM Youth with a Mission. They are based in Kona, Hawaii, and they're doing a 50-state tour, and in Tupelo, Mississippi is their only Mississippi location. It's going to be this weekend, Saturday, April the 6th at 6 p.m., Chris has got us hooked up at the Saltillo Community Center. We're going to be there. And so on Saturday night, we're going to have a Gen Z night where they're going to come in. And I mean, these are 19 to 20-year-olds. They're coming in. They're going to we're going to do a night of worship. And then they're going to preach the gospel. And what they want to do is not only present the gospel, but they want to equip
Gen Z
That's good.
With the gospel to go out into the schools and universities, college campuses, and their schools to be able to shine the light into their generation. I think one of the things the church does really good at is helping people know how to invite people to church.
Mm. Yep.
We don't do so good a job of is helping people
equip
to preach the gospel.
Yes, right.
And so what that night is, it's open to all ages, right? And I know we keep calling it Gen Z night. It's open to anybody who wants to come, because I promise you, you'll be blessed.
Yes.
But it's very intentional, wanting to equip a generation to go out and present the gospel, to live on mission. You don't have to go on across the seas on a mission trip. Those are cool. Definitely do that. But you can live on mission.
Yes.
Then the next night, Sunday night, April the 7th, we're going to do a night of worship and word at the Cross in Saltillo. It's on Highway 45. You can't miss it. Saltillo, Mississippi. And so super excited about that. And if anybody wants to share anything else on that.
Yeah, I mean, just come out and be a part of it. And if you have any questions about it or concerns, reach out to one of us here on this podcast. We'll be more than happy to talk with you and touch base with you.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to a great time. I just think, I mean, this was very good. And I know we might have been a few places. I know I go a lot of different places. But it would be so good just to hear just the wisdom that is in the room. And just getting back to the same place. All we're trying to do is just get everybody to the Cross. We got to continue to go back to the Cross, because we got to carry our own cross. Mm-hmm. So why are we going to the Cross? We're going to the Cross because he was our example, so we can carry our cross. And so that is getting to the Word of God. And so that's what we want to do. And if it's we want to take this time and just even pray over you and just understand that there is more that God has for you, regardless of where you at. And one of the things that I shared yesterday that I said, you said you might have scars in your life, but look at His.
Amen.
He had scars, you know, and then you might feel like you've been humiliated every time you go somewhere. Well, He was spit on, you know, and then not only that, you know, the stripes that He took for us, that means He had some things in order. He took some things for us that would understand that we don't have to just take whatever's going on and think it's on me. But no, He said He carried every burden.
Amen.
And so that's what. That's what He's done. So what I want to do is just pray and just give God an opportunity to just to lead you, whatever that means to you. So, Father God, we just thank You for this time. We thank You for who You are. And, God, we ask that You continue just to lead us into just what You call us to be. God, I thank You for just everybody that has took the time to even just listen all the way through. God, we ask that You continue to lead and guide them to all truth.
Yes.
God, we don't take this for granted to know truth. God, help us to hold fast that even with the truth that You've given us, that we speak it boldly. And then we say it even with confirmation. And not only that, but unction that's in us to say, you know, this is the only way I can be transformed, that I continue to live this thing out.
Yes.
But God, not only that, God, we thank You that even for the people that are dealing with perplexity, God, I thank You that You are the one that can answer every question.
Yes.
God, everything that we don't understand, You understand. For the ones that's in the hospital that don't understand the sicknesses or their relatives are dealing with, their spouses are dealing with, God, I thank You that You can be the one in the room,
yes,
to touch them. And not only that, God, we ask that You look on the children. We ask that You look on the youth, God, even this thing that we have that's planned before You, God, we lift it up before You.
Yes.
God, we thank You for a new revival. We thank You for a revival that just shakes this area, that changes our perspective. And God, we thank You that You're using our youth, that You have poured out Your Spirit upon all flesh, and God, that You're going to use them. And not only that, God, we thank You for what You're doing here with Grace Talk and the people that You have put in. And we've been in touch with. God, I thank You for just how You just leading us to do what You call us to do. And God, we pray for just a special blessing for each and everyone that's under the sound of our voices. And God, we thank You for who You are. And we'll never forget what Your Son done for us to have direct contact with You. We thank You for Your Son today.
Yes.
And I want to give an opportunity, if it's somebody that's online that doesn't know Christ, so I want to let you know that it is a simple thing, but you got to take it serious. So if you even under the sound of my voice and you just saying, well, you know what, God, I want to give You another try. Well, today is the day that He wants to even reveal to you who He is. And it's just you just taking this time to say, you know what, God, today I accept your son as Lord and Savior of my life. Yes. And I believe that he came and he died and was buried, but he rose again just for me, that I can accept him today as my Lord and Savior. It's a simple prayer, but it has to be from the heart.
Yes.
And God, we thank you for everybody that's under the sound of my voice. God, we ask that you continue to lead them. And if you have said what I just said in that prayer, we just want to welcome you to just being into the kingdom. But we want you to find someone to continue to build you up, to put into you. If it's Corey, Chris, or me, just put in the message, I gave my life to Christ, what's next? And we will get back with you, because we believe this is the life for you.
Yes.
This is the good life. And we believe that. And so, Father God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Man, this has been good, and I am thankful for each and every one of y'all. And hey, we will be back. We will have a special guest on our next week. So tune in. You just never know.
It.
You never know. So we love y'all, and God bless. This is Grace Talk.